CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. Ernesto, an item in these last days about a member of the cabinet for Jair Bolsonaro went during his term. Brazil's federal police formally accused the country's former justice minister, who served under ex-president Jair Bolsonaro, of acting to block voters in an opposition stronghold from reaching polling stations in the 2022 presidential election. The former minister, Anderson Torres, was accused of political violence alongside the ex-chief of Brazil's Federal Highway Police, Silvanai Vasquez, and four other people, according to one of the sources. Here's the puzzle, Ernesto. Lula da Silva won the election. So whatever they're accusing this minister and his colleagues of doing clearly failed. What is going on here? Why continue to persecute not only Bolsonaro himself, but his cabinet? What do they get from this?
Well, John, I think they want to keep a sword hanging over the head of anyone who was close to Bolsonaro and anyone who was, by definition, opposed to Lula. So they do that with Bolsonaro himself and with several people. One of them is the former justice minister that you mentioned. A very good guy. I mean, he was a minister after I left the cabinet. But he had jurisdiction over the highway police. And according to Brazilian law, you cannot, during an election day, if you're a candidate, you cannot pay for voters to be shipped or bused from a place to another. And the highway police has the mandate to verify buses and say, okay, who paid for this and all that. And they did that with a few buses, and then they liberated and the voters voted the same way. So it's a totally fabricated issue, but it goes together with, a lot of fabricated issues or overblown issues that make for all the Bolsonaro supporters always have some fear of something, right? Even those who are not in prison, they are in a way being prosecuted, or they know that they're not normal citizens. They are treated as suspects. The other day, I made a show about the law of the suspects of the time of the French Revolution, 1795, I think it was approved, or 97, where everyone was a suspect for working against the revolutionary process or something like that. So, there was totally no definition of what a suspect was, and suspects could be in prison, could lose their livelihood, they could even lose their life. So that's what they're implementing in Brazil, is a sort of revolutionary process where everyone can be a suspect. And of course, people know who is liable to that. If you are on the right, if you're a conservative, if you are pro-Bolsonaro, if you are anti-Lula or something like that. So it's not the rule of law that we have in Brazil. And this case that you mentioned is one of the several that prove that.
Joseph, I come to you because there is an equally complicated, but a certainly suspicious lawfare going on in Mexico. We've had an election. Claudia Sheinbaum, the former mayor of Mexico City, won easily, overwhelmingly. She is a protege of the outgoing President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, called affectionately by his voters, AMLO. And yet there is a moment between the inauguration of Claudia Sheinbaum, October 1st, and the swearing in of the Congress, the new Congress, which I believe is September 1st. In those 30 days, as I understand the thinking, AMLO is still president and is planning to move his ambition for many years now. He tried this at the midterms, to have a supermajority that cannot reject his legislation. And the legislation is meant to take the judiciary and turn it into an elected body, not an appointed body, throughout the land, but especially at the Supreme Court level. And this will permit him to change the Constitution, goes the case, I believe. And what he wants to do is change the Constitution in a way that makes it certain that the judiciary will not block him for his ambitions to... Well, he was disappointed in the institutions resisting his changes during his 6 years in office. Chiefly, the way to picture this, I'm told, is that AMLO envies the old days of PRI, 70 years in power in Mexico, until it was upset in the early part of this century. He wants his Morena party to be PRI. Now, that's an elaborate plot. Do you find it credible, Joseph, that AMLO in his final 30 days is looking to reduce the independence of the judiciary so that it's just like the judiciary in Brazil led by the Supreme Court justice who's persecuting Bolsonaro and his cabinet? Is that credible to you that Mexico can go the way of Brazil and other lawfare states?
Oh, no, absolutely, John. I was the kind of common denominator that I've seen throughout Latin America, especially among the more socialist authoritarian states, is kind of to phase in this new era of lawfare and to capture the judicial system, including the top courts, the prosecutors, the attorney general's office, to basically weaponize their judiciary against their political opposition. We've seen that in Brazil. There's the classic cases in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Bolivia. Political prisoners abound. And obviously, I think this is happening in Colombia. The difference in Colombia is they have a judicial system that's very independent. So it's been hard for Petro to have any inroads there. He's been trying, for sure. But I think AMLO's absolutely going to do the same thing in Mexico. And I think he's trying to position the judicial system in Mexico in a way that's where AMLO's going to try to control the country and in alliance with Claudia Sheinbaum, who comes from the Morena Party. The supermajority that the Morena Party has inside the Mexican Congress is a tremendous advantage to be able to do this. They can rewrite the Constitution. They can change the rules of the game in the legislative level, which gives them ammunition to then move into the judicial level. So I believe that's certainly a credible fear for many Mexicans and for many folks that are looking at trying to hopefully have this kind of checks and balances inside the country. But I think this is a problem throughout Latin America, John. And I had some conversations recently with the Organization of American States. And I think the Secretary General, Lisa, and others that have expressed to me that they're seeing this trend even in the small countries like Ecuador and Panama and you know, throughout Latin America, where lawfare is now, you know, considered to be perhaps the number one judicial issue in the region. And Brazil, as Ernesto was describing, is really the tip of the spear at showing how you can do that in a very effective form.
And Joseph, do we have any indication that Claudia Sheinbaum will or will not go along with this intention? She will be president October 1st.
So, John, this is where I think foreign policy matters, and who wins the U.S. election will probably have a big weight on the direction that Mexico takes in terms of not just in its judiciary, but its kind of overall posture on foreign policy and the relations with the rest of the region. On one level, if you have, Kamala Harris wins the election and she goes from vice president to president, I think you could see a continuation of the Biden administration and their policies with Mexico, which has been very kind of soft, if you would call it that. And the consequence of being soft on Mexico is that you kind of bring out the worst instincts of López Obrador and the Morena Party. That's where you're starting to see them moving towards this kind of judicial authoritarianism. On the flip side, if President Trump was to win, he was able to in some ways contain AMLO's worst instincts, get along. López Obrador and Trump got along and basically work on the issues that are most important for the United States, trade being the top because they're a top trade partner, and then obviously immigration and border security, and focus on those and not focus on the rest. And so I think if President Trump is to go back into the White House, I think the conversation with Claudia Sheinbaum will be a bit different, and it may dissuade them from going through their worst instincts or going towards their maximum effort at becoming a complete authoritarian state, because it'll be leveraged with economic incentives and other institutional strength that the United States has inside Mexico. Not to meddle in the Mexican affairs, not at all, but simply to say that, look, it's better that we all get along. We better that we work on these specific issues that are more important to your country, important to our country. And I think the signal that you send is that it matters that, you know, if your country can maintain some level of political stability and normalcy, we can have a great relationship. And I have seen signals from President-elect Claudia Sheinbaum that she wants to have a good relationship with the United States, whether it's Kamala Harris or President Trump. But she's also open to a kind of a dialogue with a potential future Trump administration.
Joseph, just a note here. Several states in Latin America are vulnerable to becoming narco-terror states, not because they want to, but because the rule of law is overwhelmed by bad actors. Narco-terrorism, does it favor this kind of concentration of power in the executive and elimination of the judiciary, or is it indifferent to it?
No, it's, I mean, that's really the game, really. It's impunity to the criminals and weaponizing your persecution against your opposition. So basically the opposition now become the criminals and the criminals become those in power. So like Venezuela, using that as an example, the government of Venezuela for the last 20 years is really the cartel. I mean, they call it the cartel of the suns, but it's really just the government of Venezuela because they're the ones that provide all the logistical services to help the cartels move cocaine in and out of the country, among other narcotics. So that absolutely doesn't. And what we've been seeing with Mexico is that the cartels have been consolidating and gaining more in strength, and they would benefit tremendously from a judicial system that cherry picks how to implement, you know, its criminal code and focus on the opposition while it allows the criminals to reign in power.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. We're headed to Brazil, the vast province of a state of Sao Paulo, cursed by fire. What fire? What Amazon burning? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.